Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Dr. Jim Bradford. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'd like you to turn your Bibles, please, to 1 Thessalonians, the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read three short verses. The first two verses only have two words in them each. And then the verse we'll be focusing on this Thanksgiving Sunday morning. And I'd like to simply speak on what it means to give thanks in everything. In everything, give thanks. We have what we call heavy duty spiritual disciplines. Things like prayer and fasting and Bible study. And thankfulness is not only a national holiday, Thanksgiving, but it is one of the important spiritual disciplines. We often relegate it to one of the lightweight spiritual disciplines, not as heavyweight as fasting and praying and those things. But I happen to believe that what we're going to talk about this morning is one of the most powerful principles in Scripture. I view it as a heavyweight spiritual discipline and one of the great privileges in life, that we can give thanks. And it is one of the ways that we walk in the conscious presence of the Holy Spirit by living lives of gratitude. And so I'd like you to stand with me, and we'll see this in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually. And then altogether out loud, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a short verse, just one more time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So will you agree with me that we welcome the heart-shaping work of God's Spirit through his word as we continue our worship this morning? You may be seated. You'll find often, because the Apostle Paul wrote a whole segment of the New Testament, as including this verse, these verses we just read, you'll find often when he really gets going and he's trying to string out some thoughts, you'll find in some of his sentences where he really gets to the bottom line, there's always a what, a when, and a why. And this is not complicated. This is just simply a what, a when, and a why. And this is not challenging interpretively. It's just simply Paul telling us straight out what's really essential in our lives as believers. And he builds it around the what, a when, and a why. And the what is those first two words of verse 18, give what? Give thanks. Give thanks. I was reading an article this week about a study from the University of California, San Diego, from their School of Medicine. And they found that people who were more grateful than others actually had better health. They had better heart health with less inflammation around the heart, healthier heart rhythms. They showed that grateful people tended to have better well-being than other people. They tended to be less depressed in their mood, less fatigued, and they slept better. In fact, they found that gratitude seems to have the opposite effect in the physical body of stress. And another study found that gratitude can actually boost your immune system. For instance, they studied law students, who have lots of stress. They found out that stressed out law students who characterized themselves as optimistic actually had more disease-fighting cells in their body than pessimistic, stressed out law students. Now that's a remarkable, I go, wow. And in another study, people who kept a gratitude journal, that's where you actually write down things you're grateful for. People who kept a gratitude journal had, get this, a reduced dietary fat intake. I think I need a journal. I need a journal. as much as 25% lower. They found that stress hormones like cortisol are 23% lower in grateful people. And then the one that really caught my attention, and having a daily gratitude practice could actually reduce the effects of aging on the brain. That one I needed right there, right there. But Paul wasn't necessarily saying how to, he wasn't exactly talking to us about how to live a happier life and have less heart disease and a healthier immune system. Except it doesn't surprise us that if this is a central principle of how God designed us, that if we live gratefully, we probably will be healthier than if we didn't. I tell you, when you're young, you're pretty ideal. And it's very easy to see where the ideal doesn't match the real. There's a big gap there. So you can become cynical. You know, you get older and you can get grumpy, to be honest with you. Not that I haven't met grumpy 20-year-olds, but I probably met more cynical 20-year-olds and more grumpy 80-year-olds. It just happens as you get older. You've been around the block for a while and it gets harder, life gets harder, and you just get grumpy. But I want to tell you, Paul said, he put a great big what in front of us. Here's what we need to do. We need to give thanks. Give thanks. There's something powerful about gratefulness. And this isn't the only time he talks about this. In fact, let me take you through a very quick journey through a number of the books in the New Testament that this same Apostle Paul wrote. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 16, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. We know that some of these churches caused Paul a lot of heartache, but he still never stopped being grateful for the people that were a part of that church. The next verse, we go on to Ephesians 5 and verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I do believe that profanity is the language of bitterness in the human soul, but thanksgiving is the language of blessing. And there's a huge difference. So he said, we don't go the direction of obscenity and profanity, but we are people who are constantly verbalizing thankfulness. The next verse is over there in Ephesians 5, this time verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is kind of the air we breathe. We just live in this constant attitude of thanksgiving. The next verse takes us over into Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about everything, but about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, what? With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, in our Bible study at the prayer gathering tonight, that's the verse I'm going to be tearing apart and diving into. It's a very potent principle that we ask God for things, we pray, we petition Him, but we do it for some very powerful reasons, with thanksgiving, because there is faith-resetting power in the whole discipline of praise in our lives. The next verse takes us to Colossians, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. Talks about how we live this lifestyle of followers of Jesus, where we're rooted and built up in Jesus, we're strengthened in the faith as we were taught, and we overflow with thanksgiving. That's as normal as being strengthened in your faith as we were taught. That's as normal as being rooted in Jesus and built up in Him. You can't separate it. You are a person that overflows with thankfulness. The next verse, in Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. This is verse 15. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be what? Thankful. Two verses later, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Thanksgiving seems to be the core language of people who walk in the life of Jesus. The next verse takes us into the next chapter in Colossians in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You often hear people say we ought to watch and pray. Well, that's only part of the verse. You ought to thank and pray as well as watch and pray. Now, one more. This is, I think, our last one, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. And the next verse says, including political leaders whose politics you may not agree with. Notice it says prayer, petitions, intercession, and that hurts when the wrong guy, you know, is in power. And thanksgiving be made for all people. Wow. This isn't like spiritual kindergarten here. Thanksgiving enters into the most core realignments of the very attitude of our spirituality. And then there is one more, it's 1 Timothy 4:4. For everything God created is good. Now, in the previous verse, he's talking about food, about what kind of food you can eat or not eat. He said, everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's why many of us have the practice of before we eat, we'll bow in prayer, and we'll pray a prayer of thanksgiving. We'll ask God to bless the food, and then we'll thank him for it. And he's saying that thanksgiving even permeates the very functions of life, such as eating, and we eat always in honor of him and out of gratefulness for him. And God forgive us already for all the pies we're going to eat this week. But we're going to eat in celebration, Lord willing, of the abundance that God gives us. And thank God, even in our society, we still at least call the day Thanksgiving, that we just recognize that we're indebted to someone who's provided for us, and that things become sanctified, things become are recognized as good and are not to be rejected if they're received with gratefulness, recognizing that they come from a great God. And so this idea of thankfulness, that's the what? Give what? Thanks. This permeates everything we understand about being followers of Jesus. That's the what, and then the when, and then the when. Because it goes on in the next three words to say, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, the previous two verses also have whens in them. Verse 16, rejoice always. Always is a when word. The next verse, pray continually. Continually is a when word. So we rejoice always, we pray continually, and we give thanks in all circumstances. That's another way of describing the when. And this is where it gets tough. This is where it gets tough. Now, some Christians disagree with me, but I personally don't believe Scripture asks us to thank God for cancer or car accidents. I don't personally believe that God here is asking, when he said give thanks in all circumstances, he's not asking us to thank him for victimization and social injustice. He is not asking us to thank him for child abuse or sexual harassment, if you've been a victim of either of those. He is not thanking us. He's not telling us to thank God for demonic activity and for sin. He's not asking us to do that. When it comes to God, we don't thank him for evil. We thank him for him. And him doesn't change no matter what circumstances try to define for us. And that's why for so many of us as followers of Jesus, Romans 8:28 means so much. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, in all things, in all circumstances, in all things, one thing doesn't change. You may not be able to thank him for the thing. You can put for thing, the word thing, you can put cancer, you can put car accidents, you can put child abuse, and victimization of every kind that you may have experienced. You can put all kinds of things into that word thing, but it doesn't change the next two words. God is still always working. No matter how plundered and devastated and victimized you feel, it hasn't weakened him. Your life situation hasn't taken options away from him. It hasn't paralyzed his willingness to act. In fact, sometimes in my other job when I travel and speak to pastors, I'll say, you know, if you're a spiritual leader, same with you, if you're mentoring somebody or you're teaching, you're leading a small group, or some of you lead national ministries, it doesn't matter what kind of ministry you lead, we're always in the business of getting people two words farther in this verse. I'll sometimes say to pastors, people come on a Sunday morning like this, and they're pretty overwhelmed with all things, and we know that in all things, Paul says in Romans 8:28, in all things, and people, you know, some of you have come even this morning, you're just overwhelmed with all things. But one of the things that happens when we worship in times like this is that God moves us just two words farther in that sentence, and that changes everything in our world, because we move from all things to God works. And we know that in all things, don't stop there. That all things can stop you in your tracks if you're not careful. But here's the one thing we know. In all things, two words farther, God works. He's always working. And what's he doing? The next verse tells us, Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You could just, if you have your message notes, you could just underline those words, conformed to the image of his son. That somehow, if we come to life in Jesus, we're destined to an agenda of God to make us more like Jesus. All things can be pretty life paralyzing, but when you go from all things to the next two words in Romans 8:28, but in all things, God works. And what's he working? He's working to conform us to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among a whole generation of those who would be caught up in all that he is and all that he's purchased for them. In fact, this is our theology of the cross of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, at the heart of our faith is not a God punching his enemies in the nose. It's a God hanging on a cross, becoming the victim of all things. Every evil, every sin that addicts us and paralyzes us, every disease, the Bible says, every cancer, everything, we are told as Jesus hung on the cross, our sins were placed upon him. And that he bore our infirmities, he bore our weaknesses, he bore our diseases, he bore all things. 2,000 years ago, Jesus took on all things. That's why there's two more words in that verse. In all things, God works, because Jesus took on all things for us. And now he is utterly free as a sovereign God to keep working the shaping of his life until more and more we look at him completely independent of how horrendous and victimizing the circumstances you have felt. Because they don't stop you in life. They don't paralyze you. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took all things on at the cross. And I want to tell you, he didn't stay in a grave. He rose 3 days later to say, well, that's it for all things. I've taken care of that. So you can be confident that no matter what all things might mean for you, there's two more words down the sentence you can get to. I'm still working, and I'm still utterly free in every circumstance to shape my life in you and to give you hope so you never despair. I took care of all things 2,000 years ago, and what we're left with is I'm working. And I'm going to be faithful. I began a good work in your life. I'm going to finish it to the day of Christ Jesus. And when you give thanks in every circumstance, in all circumstances, you are standing in faith. You're standing against hell. You're standing against what people have done to you that have wounded you and crippled you. You're standing against every lie that says you'll never make it and there's no hope for you. When you give thanks in all things, you are defying the power of all things over your life. And you're getting to the next two words. When you give thanks, you're defying the power of all things over your life. And you are declaring no, but God's working. So I don't thank him for cancer. I don't thank him for child abuse. But I do thank him for him. Because he's still working. And he took on all things. So the what is give thanks. The when is in all circumstances. This is critical for our freedom. And the why is, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's the why. For this is God's will for you. Now you sit up and take notice when he tells you to do something and then specifically says, you want to know what God's will for you is? It's right here. And it's really the three things: rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstance. Do you know what God's will is for you? That you're defying all things, that you're living in the victory purchased for you at the cross 2,000 years ago, and you are living in the dimension, not of bitterness, but of gratefulness, because you're in Jesus who's conquered. And so you give thanks in all circumstances. And it also makes sense, doesn't it? He said there in verse 16, rejoice always, which means just keep choosing to give place to joy in your life because of what Jesus has already done for you, because of who you are in him. Just keep giving place to joy. That's rejoice. And pray continually. Walk in constant sense of relationship with the Heavenly Father who is your shepherd, like we heard sung about today, and who walks with you. Pray continually. So, you know, it wouldn't make sense for him to say, rejoice always, pray continually, and complain in every circumstance. Yeah, somehow that just doesn't, yeah. And or rejoice always, pray continually, and be a whiner, for this is God's word. Yeah. And I have to confess to you, one thing I don't like about me, of several things. You know, the top of my list is that, you know, I hate this about myself, but I can tend to be a whiner. I just whine sometimes. Sometimes I catch myself and I go, "You, Bradford, you're just whining." You know, and I go, I don't think this is being full of the Holy Spirit right now. And I'm just whining. You know, I whine about bad drivers, right? And the other day, I mean, I was talking out loud. I was alone in my car. I was talking out loud to the driver ahead of me. You know, like, look, I got two jobs, I was telling him. And I'm watching every minute. And how come you pull up to the speaker at the drive-thru and park and then try to figure out what you want to order? You know, I'm like, I got to get on to things. So I'm talking out loud to this guy, just like that, you know, and I'm going, what a whiner I am. And then I whine about weather, you know, so I have a weather app, right? So what I've done to cope with weather is on my weather app, I put Barrow, Alaska. It's the northernmost community in America. It's right on the Arctic Ocean. There's no town farther north in the United States of America than Barrow. And when I'm whining about the weather, it's always worse in Barrow. You know, that kind of gives me perverse delight, like, it could be worse. You know, so right now it's 43 in Springfield and it's 9 degrees in Barrow. And still dark, because it's the middle of the winter and the sun never comes up in the winter. I actually know people who have pastored a really healthy Assemblies of God church in Barrow, Alaska, but they're my heroes. I don't know that I could ever do that. So sometimes I try to cope, you know, by saying, well, maybe I can be grateful it's only 43 here and winter's coming, because it's 9 and the high will be 11 today in Barrow. I've already told myself that earlier this morning, actually. So try to cope. I mean, I'm a whiner. This is not good. But, you know, rejoice always, pray continually, and it would make sense that he would say, and give thanks in all circumstances. I mean, if you're giving place to joy and you're just walking in dependence on the Holy Spirit, hungry for him, praying always, I mean, why not give thanks? That's the logical follow-through, that verse. That is God's will for you. If you rejoice and pray always, God's will is that you begin to express it and live it out with thankfulness. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So one day I was reading James chapter 1, verse 17. I put it as the last verse in your message notes. Here it is on the screen. And it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Now, I just want you to think for a moment. Every good thing that you've even experienced today so far, every good thing we may experience. I mean, you may experience some bad things this week, but every good thing you experience is from above, coming down from a loving heavenly Father, the Father of the heavenly lights. In other words, the creator of everything. And this makes sense. The creator of everything is responsible for every good thing, right? So coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In other words, you can count your life on his goodness because he's not fickle about it. In fact, when Jesus says on the Great Sermon on the Mount to love your enemies, this is the reason he gives. Because even God's good to people that hate him. He said he makes his sun shine on their land as well as your land. He nourishes evil people's crops with rain, just like he nourishes your crops. And it's funny, you can hate God, you can run from him, but he's still got the last word because you can't get away from his goodness if you're alive on this planet. Whether it's the sun or the rain or the delicious food you might eat this week, every good thing comes from above from him. And this, I believe, is above all why gratefulness is so important, why it's at the heart of God's will for us. Gratefulness is like a heat-seeking radar. It just is constantly searching out. Some people say the discipline of greatness is like going on a daily treasure hunt. You're just looking for evidences of the generosity and goodness of God. And so I was reading this verse one day a number of years ago, and I was just really struck with this. Like, Lord, I whine too much. I don't think I live in a conscious sense of gratefulness like I should. I mean, you mean every good thing is a sign of your goodness? So I thought, what if I start identifying that in my life? So most of us take at least a few minutes to fall asleep at night. So I decided, and I did this for several months in a row, I decided every night when I went to bed, Sandy and I pray a little bit together and then we say goodnight, and then I just lie there, and I lie on my back, and I'd start thinking of everything I was grateful for that week in ways I wouldn't normally think about that day. And I start in the morning. I say, thank you, Lord, that I happen to be able to roll out of bed this morning. And thank you, Lord, for those Cheerios. And I thank you, and everybody else in my life thanks you for toothpaste. And then thank you, Lord, I made it to work. And thank you for that. Thank you for the grace you gave me to answer that terrible email I got. And thank you, it just didn't ruin my whole day when it probably should have. And thank you, Lord, for that chance appointment I had with somebody at 20 after 11 this morning. And thank you when I was late for that lunch appointment. You know, I hear people mock, God's got more important things to do than to worry about your parking spots. But I just believe, in some cities I've lived, that a parking spot is a miracle. So I lie there, I say, Lord, thank you for that parking spot you gave me when I just needed it. Otherwise, I was going to be late to my meeting. And I go through the whole day, and I just thank God for every detail, making the James 1 connection that every good thing comes from a Father who's not fickle when it comes to goodness and constantly wants to be convincing us of his goodness. After about 2 or 3 months of doing that, I want to tell you, I became overwhelmed. with the presence of God just moment by moment in my life. You start getting automatic. You're just kind of walking through your day. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that. God, what a good God you are. Thank you for that nice little thing right there. God, what a great God you are. When you make the connection that no good thing comes to us except that the Creator isn't responsible for that good thing because He loves us and wants to nourish our lives, wants our lives to thrive and to flourish. And He wants to just send us messages, just simple little reminders. Hey, some people call them postcards from heaven. He just sends us these little postcards and says, I'm here and I'm good and I love you. So just stay close to me. And this is what He does. This is why the discipline, if I may use that word, the spiritual discipline of gratefulness began to renovate the way I walk with the Lord. It's part of how we just walk in the conscious presence of God. Lord, I'm so grateful. Because we can be overwhelmed with the gratefulness of God, with the goodness of God. If we just are listening, I don't care what all things is screaming at you right now. I don't care. And I understand this is not easy when your heart's just been torn apart and when nothing's right. And you got that diagnosis from the doctor. But I want to tell you, in the name of Jesus who took on all things at the cross, I want to tell you, in the face of every relational problem you have, there is a good God, and thankfulness is the radar that keeps us fixed on Him. So I just want to invite you to stand with me. End of sermon. Just stand with me. And I just want you to just thank Him right now, wherever you are.